Thank you very much, honorable members. I know that it's not an easy day for many of us in the sense that we have the commitments here, but at least two of our members also have their commitments in the provinces. And on their behalf, we want to submit the apologies for the honorable Lond, as well as the honorable Nita. One from Western Cape and the other one from Eastern Cape, who cannot be with us. But at the same time also, we want to express our appreciation to Honorable Kaula, who is an alternative member. He's not well today. The cold is having him. It's very dangerous to get a flu when you just have the change of seasons. So we're hoping your medication will help you. When I went to my pharmacist about 3 weeks ago, he said to me that the injection for flu is already available. I did not get mine, but just to say that it's there. Also to the Honorable Tetwa, I, honorable members, bumped into Honorable Tetwa earlier and said to him that we need him here, and he says that he has to attend a meeting in Kota. And then also shared with me, this will not be surprising for you, Honorable Kaula, but for the majority party, it's a problem. When he says he's sitting in 5 committees, I know that you're sitting on 11. And therefore, we are appreciative, Honorable Tetwa, that you were able to make it for the meeting here as well. To the DG, as well as the officials from the Department of Energy, thank you very much for honoring our invitation to present your budget for 2016-2017 to us. We're looking forward to engage with you on that. We would want to make an appeal that you understand when some members here have to disappear during the course of the meeting. It has nothing to do with the quality of your presentation, but with their hectic programs. I know they all love energy. Now, if you come from a province where there is programs on nuclear energy, on solar energy, and you leave before the time, the department may just decide. To redirect the budget, the DG says. To redirect the budget. To solar energy, to nuclear energy. Thank you very much to the DG, Mr. Kabani Zulu, who will introduce the rest of his team to us. We do have an apology from the minister that cannot be with us in this presentation, but what is important is that we have the people here that have put this budget together and that will be able to account to us on any concerns and questions and clarifications that we may require as a select committee on the budget. I would ask you, without running too fast through it, that we try and move as rapidly as we possibly can through the process. We have given ourselves 2 hours, but if we could do it in 1.5 hours, it will be appreciated for the presentation and the questions. I can guarantee you that we will take at least half an hour to 45 minutes just dealing with questions and comments from the members of the committee. We also want to welcome the staff of this select committee who are here with us today. Welcome also to our visitors. I know that we have a visitor here from India. We also have our visitors, our normal visitors here from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group. I don't think that I have missed anybody. If I did, it's because you did not introduce yourself to me. Gigi, welcome, and we end up with you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you very much for inviting the Department of Energy to present to the Select Committee on Economic and Business Development on our start plan for 2016-17 and the annual performance plan as well, and in particular to also reflect on the budget vote for the Department of Energy for the year ahead. Honorable Chairperson, I must say that we have brought our executives team, which is a team of DDGs that are basically responsible for different branches and obviously for all the work that we are expected to perform will be carried by the Minister, the Deputy Minister, and obviously the Accounting Officer and the team that you see here. And I've also understood that we have time constraints. We have submitted the presentation, I hope, pretty much in advance for honorable members. So we may not have to go very deep in some of the issues, but if members feel so, we are more than willing to go deep. We have the CFO present with us here. We have all DDGs from different branches, as you have seen in our presentation that we forwarded, how our structure of the department looks like. We may not have to go and take time for that, as they reflect on different aspects of your interest. They may have to introduce themselves in the interest of time. We have also provided in our presentation the presentation layout of the issues that we would like to deal with, and the CFO will then deal mainly with the budget aspect of what is key for this particular meeting as per invite. Most importantly, honorable members, we will be focusing on trying to define exactly who we are, but I know that most of the honorable members sitting here, they are pretty much aware of who the Department of Energy is, and again, in the interest of time, we wouldn't like to spend much time on that. But on our presentation layout, we will deal with the structure of the organization, just to refresh our memories, how the organization is currently structured. As you know, we have a minister, the deputy minister, and the accounting officer in the capacity of a DG, which is myself, and the DDGs. You'll see that as outlined in the structure for your own consumption. We also, as part of the ongoing exercise, will talk about the revision of different legislations that are talking to our core business, as we have seen that in the mission and the vision of the department. We'll also reflect on the strategic outcome-oriented goals, the standard requirement in terms of the format that we use for this particular exercise. We must reflect on that. And most importantly, some of the work that we do from our vision and from our mission is performed by different entities which are reporting to the Minister of Energy. We will also reflect briefly on those entities and what they do, and also do some sector synopsis for the consumption of the committee. We'll also reflect on various strategic plan highlights for the purpose of this meeting, and reflect on the key focus areas that we think might be of importance for the members to note. And most importantly, Honorable Chairperson, is to reflect on the alignment of the work that we do with the NDP, the MTSF, as well as the APP for this particular financial year. One of the requirements for all departments within government is to reflect how we align the work we do with National Development Plan and the MTSF at large, and we shall do that. Obviously, there are challenges and interventions that are required from time to time, and we'll also reflect on that. And the CFO will then deal with the budget allocation and get into details of how different components of our budget is going to be divided within the Department of Energy to do specific assignments as expected in terms of our responsibility. To share the presentation, Chair, we have our acting DDG for corporate services who will take us through from the organizational structure of the organization, just to reflect very briefly, and then from there the CFO will take us through the budget itself and reflect how the money is divided. With your permission, Honorable Chairperson, I would like to hand over to the DDG for corporate services acting DDG.
Thank you very much.
Can I show you
just for the record? It helps our secretary if she has the names of the people. I know we've sent the list around, and that's another reason. But now, also for the honourable members here, we will request that if anybody takes the floor, that you, other than your title, also just give us your name, please.
Yes. We shall do so. We'll provide the list of all the villages present. It's only for the purpose of this meeting. Normally, we don't bring the entire team to such meetings, but for this particular exercise, it's important that people who are responsible for the implementation of this budget, we can see them and we can ask any question you need from any branch for the work that you do. But under normal circumstances, we normally bring very small teams to do presentations on specific items. We shall do so. Mr. Mlaozi, the acting DDG for corporate services, will do the presentation moving forward from the structure and the CFO, and Shady will take over thereafter. That should conclude the presentation, and then we can entertain any legislative questions thereafter. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members.
Thank you, Chairperson and Members. My name is Lucas Mlaozi, acting DDG for Corporate Services. I am not going to dwell on what the DDGs already indicated in terms of the summary. I will start on slide number 5 just to say those are the boxes, the blocks that constitute the structure that delivers the work of the Department of Energy. And slide number 6 is the purpose by definition of each and every branch, as you see it there on the blocks. Actually, we have 7 branches, but if you collapse admin into one, which will be corporate services, governance and compliance, financial management, they constitute what we call the admin component, which is the support function. On the line function, the first branch that we have is the policy, planning and clean energy. The second one, I'm not going to read the purpose, Chair, for the purposes of time. And then we've got petroleum and petroleum product regulation, is the one that's responsible for diesel, paraffin, gas, and other related products. And then we've got the electrification program and project management. This is the branch that is responsible for coordination and monitoring of programs and projects that are focused to energy, the electrification part of it, including the land grid. We also have the nuclear energy, which is the branch responsible for the control of nuclear material as well as related material in terms of the international obligations that govern nuclear. And then you've got the support, like I've alluded, we collapse them into one, we call them admin, then corporate services, and then you've got governance and compliance, the one responsible for the compliance by the DOE and SOE. Then you've got the financial management services, which is the branch that is being headed by the CFO. Talking about the structure itself in terms of numbers, that is reflected on slide number 8. The entire organizational structure of the department, the approved one, has got 844 posts. Out of those 844 posts, only 619 are funded. Out of those, 8 are filled permanently, but with people on the additional establishment, which is something that we'll be working on in terms of doing the proper alignment. We do have, however, 225 posts which are unfunded, and this is solely because of the fact that we are always having to lobby for finances from National Treasury, and it doesn't come as in one place, it's a process, so we continuously do that. And then we have 77 which are unfilled, but the recruitment process in respect of these positions is in various stages, so there is movement towards filling these positions. For purposes of providing access and proximity to services of energy in the provinces, we do have 9 regional offices. Those 9 regional offices are situated in the 9 provinces, as you can read them over there, Chair and members. On the APD itself, as well as the strat plan, the areas that would require legislative drafting and other mandates. On this one, I will focus on column number 1, then we jump to column number 3, and finally 4. Then you can see what we intend to do, what has been done, and what needs to be done. The name of the bill, the first one is Electricity Regulation Amendment Bill. What we have done to date is that it was submitted to cabinet in September, and we would have submitted it to cabinet as well. It should be here in cabinet, and it still requires some deliberation and discussions for a decision. The Energy Regulation Amendment Bill is also here in cabinet. It will require discussions as well as a decision in relation to that. Slide number 11 is promulgation of the National Meter Regulator Amendment Act. It was submitted on March 2017, and the date for submission of the bill to Parliament obviously is still coming. It will be the subsequent year, that is 2018. The Nuclear Energy Amendment Act, it has been submitted. No, it will be submitted this year in March. Obviously, it should be in the process of being received by the relevant structures for deliberation and discussions and for resolution. The National Radioactive Waste Management Act, also the due date was 17 March this year, but we have included it in our APP this year in order to can monitor what will come out from its presentation to the relevant structures. The framework for strategic planning, the MTSF, requires that all departments should set out their strategic outcome-oriented goals. We have done so in our APP. The first orientated goal, together with the relevant goal statement, security of supply, its purpose is to ensure that energy supply is secure and demand is well managed. On the infrastructure side, the goal statement is to facilitate an efficient, comparative, and responsive energy infrastructure network. Regulation and competition to ensure that there is improved energy regulation and connection and competition. Universal access and transformation to ensure that there is efficient and diverse energy mix for universal access within a transformed energy sector. On environmental assets, we have to ensure that environmental assets and natural resources are protected and continually enhanced by clear energy technologies. Climate change, we will implement policies that adapt to and mitigate the effects of climate change. And finally, on corporate services, we will implement good governance for effective and efficient service delivery. We do have entities that report to the Minister of Energy. We've got the NERSA, which is the National Energy Regulator of South Africa, NNR, National Media Regulator. Then we also have the Research and Development Institutions in the form of SOEs, which is the first one, SANEDI, as well as NEXA. The others, which are the last in terms of our entities, we've got the SAF, as well as the National Radio Waste Disposal Institute and RADI. Just to give the energy synopsis in the energy sector as a whole, we are seeing South African economy relies heavily on energy. It is a known factor by everybody. RSA is also dependent on imported crude oil and is increasingly importing petrol as well as diesel, which is the the kind of energy, form of energy which we use on a daily basis, industrial and otherwise. The petroleum sector employs about 90,000 people with an annual turnover of about 270 billion. Electricity industry, which is Eskom, employs approximately 460,000 employees with an annual turnover of 77 billion. 46,000 employees, excuse my number, 46,000 employees with a turnover of 77 billion. Today, we have created 12,000 jobs, which have been created through the independent power producers with a direct investment of 120 billion. The strat plan, which is our source document in terms of the crafting and the production of the APP, is focusing on the following points. The country's 20-year plan for electricity with regard to with a delivery bias towards clean energy. It's also focusing on the renewable energy independent power producers. We also saying in the strat plan regulatory certainty, which will bear fruit through significant investment in energy infrastructure. We talking also about the improved access to energy services in rural communities in our 5-year strat plan. There is also a focus on delivering the nuclear build program as well as solar water heaters. We will implement our role as far as infrastructure, national infrastructure plan is concerned through the PICC, as well as revise and submit legislation and other founding documents to cabinet and parliament for approval. Inga, Grand Inga project is also one of our objectives in the strat plan, but also including the people with skills and capacity that need to assist the delivery of both the strat plan and the APP. Slide number 16. The focus areas for the 16-17 financial year on our APP, I will focus on the programs as well as the impact. National Solar Water Heaters Program will be implemented this year, and as we do that, we'll be installing 38,375 units. On the electricity generation, 1,800 megawatts will be added. More IPPs funding will be operationalized. Gas issues as well as its evaluations will be done. Coal will be dealt with. Co-generation, but also we will conclude the Inga project takeoff agreement. On nuclear youth program, we will proceed with the implementation of the procurement plan. On the public building, as far as energy efficiency, demand side management is concerned, we will be signing SLA with implementing entities such as the municipalities in order to implement the EEDSM program. On integrated plan, which are the IRP, will submit to cabinet for approval and publication for comment. In other words, the IRP will be submitted to the cabinet for approval, publication, and comment. The integrated energy plan will submit to cabinet for approval as well as for comment, publication, and for comment. On the gas side, the gas utilization master plan, we will be sourcing for approval for publication and for comment as far as the camp is concerned. And then on the electrification side, 285,000 new connections will be made, 20,000 new connections will be done, as well as other off-grid technologies. Energy efficiency measures, load shifting and switching LPG implementation strategy will be executed. Regulatory framework, amendment of Electricity Regulations Act, the ERA, will be submitted for consideration. Regulatory framework, petroleum infrastructure, there will be increasing upgrading of refinery infrastructure and convert clean fuels, as well as approval of the 20-year liquid fuel master plan. The alignment between the APP as well as the NDP, we have taken directly from the NDP as well as other founding sources such as the MTSS to say that how are we going to deliver each of those specific targets or goals as required by the NDP. The NDP says gas should be explored as an alternative to coal for energy production. What we have done in this regard is that in November 2015, the minister made a determination for gas to power generation. So the gas to power will be issued in 2016-17. The second directive is there is a need to be a greater mix of energy sources and greater diversity of independent power producers. Progress, there's been 194 billion investment between bid window 1 and 4 of the IPP program, including renewable energy. What is going to happen this year is that additional bid windows will be open in 2016-17 as part of the IPP program. On electricity pricing and access need to accommodate the needs of the poor, progress to date, the price remains regulated by the independent regulator. And what we're going to do is that NERSA will continue to approve price adjustments on a sliding scale. The timing and desirability of nuclear power. On this one, what we've done is that the feasibility of the nuclear program has been completed. What is going to happen is that request for procurement of nuclear power will be issued in this financial year. The NDP says there should be a new petrol refinery need to be considered. Progress to date, stakeholder consultation and monitoring of the balance of supply demand is ongoing. We are going to, during 16-17, a decision will be made regarding the refinery or imports of or hybrids. We need to improve demand side management according to the NDP. The energy efficiency demand side management program is going at municipal level and in retrofitting the public buildings. In other words, there is some work that has been done already there. But what is going to happen this year is that the target for 16-17 is to save 0.5 terawatt per hour through the EEDSM. Subject to cost, South Africa could aim for at least 90% grid connection by 2030 with alternative off-grid options offered to the remaining households for whom connection is impractical. Progress is 86% of households have been connected to the grid and others electrified through non-grid technology. So this year the target is to connect 265,000 households on the grid plus 20,000 in 2016-17. Slide number 20. Clean fuel standards requires major investment in upgrades and conversions of existing refineries at a time when the major oil companies are increasingly selling off refinery assets. Progress is that stakeholder consultation is underway regarding financing models. What we're going to do is that a decision will be made about the supply of clean fuels to the SA market. Biofuels are also a possibility in the future, but because of South Africa is likely a dry country, production is likely to be located in the Southern African region. Progress, consultation and formulation of funding model has been completed. We will be submitting a draft of biofuels regulatory framework for ministerial approval. South Africa's approach to energy planning needs to become more holistic and integrated. Progress is that the integrated energy plan IEP consultation has been completed and that the IEP will be submitted to cabinet for approval. To amend the National Energy Regulator and the Electricity Regulation Act to ensure more efficient and predictable regulatory environment. The interdepartmental consultation has been completed on the amendments of both acts. This year, the bills will be submitted to cabinet for approval and onward processing. To ring-fence the electricity distribution business of the 12 largest municipalities representing 80% of municipal distribution and resolve their maintenance and refurbishment backlogs. The assessment of the scale of backlog has been completed and the funding requirement determined. Further consultation with COPTA and National Treasury on the funding of the program will be done. Slide number 22, as well as number 23, which are the last slides before the CFO make a presentation on finances, it talks about the challenges as well as the interventions. The challenge number one is electricity supply and demand balance. How are we going to deal with that? Eskom maintenance and improved availability programs to continue as planned and in accordance with the agreed timelines. A challenge and another challenge is Eskom build program time frames and budget overruns. Intervention is to build program and to be monitored on a monthly basis and the challenge to be highlighted on time. Clarity on the end state of electricity industry is delaying progress in new entrants and regulatory reform. End state structure to be implemented in line with the strengthening of Eskom to ensure a long-term sustainability utility, but also to ensure electricity industry will still be attractive to new investors. This one needs political guidance on such a structure. Transmission access and bottlenecks. End state electricity industry needs to allow for improved transmission capacity and allow for non-discriminatory access to the grid for new generation investors. Lack of upgrading, refurbishment, and extension of existing distribution network infrastructure for the last 15 years by municipalities and Eskom. There is a need to develop an appropriate funding model, norms and standards for asset management revenue and skills enhancement to ensure urgent investment and upgrading to existing infrastructure. Consideration to be given of establishing the EDI partition. Progress in electrification program as a challenge. The intervention is established joint oversight committee at EXCO level between DOE and ESCOM to improve oversight of electrification projects, but also to revert to weekly updates to ensure targets are achieved. There is a need also for continuous financial allocations to ensure universal access is reached by 2025. the very last line chairperson and member, on challenge rollout of solar water program. The intervention is pilot phase is being implemented in 2016-17 and to be followed by sufficient budget allocation to ensure that the target of 1.75 million installed system is reached by 2018-19. The challenge on the recent crude oil price drop and exchange rate fluctuations impact on biofuels implementation, the mitigation strategy is that subsidy model to be revisited to determine original benefits given current crude oil price and exchange rate fluctuations, as well as based on the feasibility studies, the biofuel program has the potential to create more or less 15,000 jobs and will reduce the country's transport fuels import by 460 million liters per annum. Piloting through a competitive bidding process to test the sustainability of subsidy model. Update on the integrated resource plan as a planning tool. The remedial actions are that the IRP is currently being updated and will be tabled in cabinet for public consultation before the end of the financial year. The revised IRP will take into account macroeconomic changes, updating the technology cost, as well as development in policies since the RP 2010 was published. The RP update will be informed by recommendations made in the IEP, which will also be published before the end of the financial year. The RP update will also include socio-economic impact assessment. Chair, that brings me to the end of the strat plan as well as the APP presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We will then immediately go over to Mr. Monchetti, the CFO, to give us the figures. Then we can put the figures together with the plan before we start raising our comments and questions. Over to you, please, madam.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable members, DG, colleagues from the department. I will take you through the Vote 26, and I'll give you the highlights of Vote 26 and the adjustments thereof. The department's budget allocation for 2016-17 is 7.54 billion. Earmarked transfer payments to public entities, municipalities, and other implementing institutions amounts to 6.8 billion, which is equivalent to 90.15% of the department's total budget. The remaining budget of 743 million is for operational expenditure, inclusive of payments for capital assets. This is consistent with the trend of the budget for the last 5 years. I'll just give you a little bit of a history on the fiscal allocation. For 2013-14, we had 6.5 billion. The next year, we had 7.4 billion. It went up by 14%. Then the next year, it went up to 7.482 billion, which is increased by 0.9%. The following year, the budget was 7.545 billion, and the increase was 0.8%. Given the current economic climate, the funding was also constrained, hence the expenditure ceiling that was implemented by National Treasury. Chair, I would like to highlight in this graph the major allocations of our budget. The biggest portion of the budget is being taken by the Integrated National Electrification Program, that's Program 5, which takes 6 billion of our budget. The second recipient would be NEXA with 5.9 million. Most of this funding is for earmarked purposes and which is reported on to the department as well. The third one is to various institutions, and one of the biggest contributors in this share of the pie is to the solar water heating project. The next slide, Chair, is just to highlight the Cabinet-approved budget reductions that was implemented. This came in the form of an instruction from National Treasury, which the Department had to implement. Indicative in the 2015 LTIF period, we had 7.6 billion as the budget. There were changes to that indicative baseline of 149 million. That 149 million is broken down into goods and services, being one of the bigger variances of 239 million, which we received into the budget. And this is specifically the bigger portion of this goods and services adjustment was for the nuclear renewable program, which is about 200 million. Transfer payments had a drastic decrease in the amount of 390 million. The breakdown is at the bottom of the slide. It's this portion here that I referred to. Its INAP ESCOM was reduced by 250 million. INAP municipal grant has also decreased by 90 million. National solar water heater program was also decreased by 52 million. Chair, I'm only concentrating on the 16-17 year given the time constraint, but the outer years have also been stipulated on the slide. And the comments, I will just go through them quickly. Owing to the reduction in the revenue estimates of the country over the 2016 MTF period, relative to the estimates contained in the medium-term budget program structure, that's the meaning of that acronym, medium-term budget program structure, substantial budget reductions had to be implemented by National Treasury over this period. The total original indicative allocation for Vote 26 of 24.85 billion over the MTF period, and those were the breakdowns, have been adjusted downwards by incorporating the following adjustments. Compensation of employees, 33.56 million reduction over the MTF period. Chair, this position will not be sustainable for the department, given that many crucial or critical vacancies in the line functions have to be filled to attain some of the targets that was just mentioned. Goods and services, 356 million increase over the MTF period, made up of a budget increase of 239 million in 2016-17. Transfer payments had a reduction of 1 billion, and I will give the details going forward in other slides. The above adjustments brings the final baseline to 24.16 billion over the MTF period, reflecting an average reduction of 2.76%. The next slide is the indicative baseline versus the final baseline. These are the economic classifications that we divide the budget into. Indicative budget was 7.694 billion. We received 7.54 billion. Under compensation of employees, we went up. It was 309 million. We received 310. However, the baseline increase in this classification only provides for the 2015 wage sector settlement. In the outer 2 years of the three-year cycle, budget ceilings for compensation of employees, funding set by implementing the budget reductions. These outer year reductions have an impact on staff establishments and the ability of the department to fund contract or positions that are additional to the establishment. So it is indeed a challenge for the department. The estimated budget shortfall during the outer 2 years in relation to the current warm bodies on the ground is 89.12 million and 98.09 million respectively. Goods and services has gone up from 188 million to 428 million. Chair, the comments are on the next slide. It's just that I'm doing it. The comments for all of these variances are on the next slide. Goods and services, we had an indicative budget of 188 million. We received 428 million. There has been a substantial increase of 127%. And the major increase here is the nuclear renewable program, which received 200 million. Inclusive in this economic classification is also consultants. And consultants, Chair, we are very proactive in implementing the cost containment measures of National Treasury. We only appoint consultants for specific needs and specialized skills that are required. Some of the needs of the consultants would be for outsourced audits, communication for specific projects, the petroleum price adjustments, fuel testing, the measurement and verification of non-grid implementations, measurement and verification of energy savings. These are just some amongst many other expenditures. The next item is transfers and subsidies. Indicatively, we had 7.1 billion. It's gone down to 6.8 billion. It's a 5.43% decrease. And the main reasons for the decrease are the budget reductions in this category of 5.43% is mainly attributable to budget reductions implemented on the INAP, ESCO, INAP municipalities, and the solar water heating program. All these programs have to decrease the performance targets in order to align the revised expenditure ceilings. If I move along, Chair, this is the indicative budget versus the final baseline budget per program. Under the first program, which is administration, which covers the ministry, the DG's office, the CFO, COO, and corporate services, and internal audit. We've had an indicative budget of 245 million. We received 240 million. There has been a decrease of 2.2%. And the main reason for their decrease is the reduction over the 3 years are mainly affecting the current payments classification, that is compensation of employees, that's the main reason. And the next cost item would be in goods and services, is the reason for their decrease, and specifically to travel and subsistence and consultants. The second program is energy policy and planning, as had an increase in their budget by a small percentage of 0.6%. And the next program is petroleum and petroleum products regulation, also had a 1.7% increase. And the reasons for their increases are attached, but I'll cover the major variances only. Electrification in energy programs and projects has decreased. It had an indicative budget of 6 billion. It's now in the final baseline of 5.69 billion. It has decreased by 5.5%. And the main reason for that, as I've indicated earlier on, is INAC ESCOM with a baseline reduction of 250 million in 2016-17. INAP municipalities with a 90 million reduction in 2016-17. Reductions on both these projects necessitated a review of the performance targets and the electrification installations that may be achieved. A total of 9.6 million over the NTF period has been added to this program to provide for the oversight, monitoring, and evaluation of non-grid installations. Nuclear energy. At an indicative budget of 669 million, the final budget is 863 million. It's gone up by 29.02%. And the main reason for their increase, a budget increase of 29.02% has been implemented in 2016-17 year. It's allocated to the Nuclear Renewable Program for the acquisition of procurement advisory services. However, in the 2017-18, the program's baseline decreases by 0.19%. This is attributable to the 200 million being a once-off allocation only. So in the outer 2 years, this allocation of 200 million is no longer there. However, discussions and engagements with National Treasury is currently underway in terms of that funding for the program. Clean energy. At an indicative budget of 622 million, the final allocation is 616 million. It has decreased by 0.94%. And the main reason here is the goods and services classification, which reflects the budget increase over the MTF period, attributable to the solar water heating funding, which is related to the acquisition of services. And the decrease in the solar water heating funding is in relation to the actual units that's acquired. So there's been an increase in the solar water in certain category and a simultaneous decrease in another category. but they are both for specific reasons. Chair, come to the slide on transfer payment schedule, which is the major part of our budget. The indicative was 7.9 billion. The final allocation is 6.8 billion. Overall, it's been decreased by 5.43%. And I've gone through all the decreases, but just to reiterate them, the decreases are for Eskom INAP of 6.6%, that's the decrease. INAP Municipal Grant is also decreased by 4.4%. National Solar Water Heating Program also decreased by 14% overall. INAP Eskom Program, which reduces by 500 million, has been explained. And those explanations are on the slide attached to you. Finally, Chair, in closing, the implemented reductions require a review of the department's performance targets so they can be aligned with the funding received, specifically for the three projects which were significantly reduced. That was INAP, the solar water heating program. There were two components within the, which was INAP ESCOM and INAP municipalities, and then solar water heating. Those are the three projects. The spotlight has been placed on the compensation of employees. The compensation of employees reduction will impact on how the department deals with natural attrition over the MTF period. A freeze on certain vacant positions has been recommended by National Treasury. Specific measures to manage the personnel expenditure and to develop tools to reduce personnel numbers in 2017-18 and 18-19 are to be announced by the Ministers of Finance and Public Service Administration. Prior to this, the departments are required to manage the staff establishment to keep within the compensation of employees' budget ceilings. A total of 200 million has been made available in 2016-17 year for the Nuclear Renewable Program for the procurement of procurement advisors and consultancy services. With that, I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. It's overlooked, but thanks for doing it in the way you did, that we didn't feel that you were rushing through it, but you have kept it quite a lot in the presentations. Honourable members, we also have the APP budget vote that goes into much more detail, and we did indicate this morning that there are four documents. The other is the annual performance plan that also puts the pieces together. I know it is asking a lot, expecting us to be able to go through everything in the session now, but we don't need to be too anxious about it. It's not like the department is doing a presentation and we're not going to see you again. We will continue to study the documents before us and will use our authority also to engage with you further on the presentation. However, before we take it to the House, it's going to be important for us as members here to then raise any question that we have related to the energy sector. I'm doing that advisedly, honourable members, where I'm saying it could be that something is mentioned here in a very technical way that we may not be able to pick it up, and we do have questions. I think that because of the importance of energy to this select committee on development, and in particularly if we look at economic development, the energy sector plays a pivotal role in that, and we wouldn't want to limit the engagement that you may have. So we are allowing you to be as free as you feel you'd want to be in engaging the presentation in any other matter on energy that may be of importance for us as members of Parliament. We will follow the normal procedure, where we will allow three members to raise questions. I would again also in that procedure request that we try and limit our questions to three each. If you have less than three, it's fine. But pick up the three that you feel is most important, raise them. Then we'll take the second round, and if time allows, then only we'll come back to take some more. Can I get an indication from the honourable members who would want to engage? Honourable Kawula? Let's allow you so that the other members can think through. I notice Honourable Teva after you.
Thanks, I'll ask for all of them.
Sure.
I'll say three times what some have. Thanks, colleagues, DG in the department, and I visit. No one gives a lack of matter, but yes, and no. Usually also go to and then I call out. Honorable Chairperson, I want to remind the acting DDG that in 2016, we are not yet in 2017.
Yes, we noticed that. That is on which, just give us the page number there again.
I'm just passing by. There is reference to something called load shifting on slide number 18. Just want to understand whether load shifting is the same, load shifting and switching is it the same thing as load shedding. See, there is a change of terminology now. It's deliberately meant to confuse us or what. if it is load shedding, I just wanted to confirm if they are still continuing with that animal called load shedding. And Honorable Chairperson, the next slide is 23, where I also just want to confirm, see the small print here. It's better on the screen there. Yeah, slide number 23. The very first line talks about the time frames, and the department is very adamant that they adhere to time frames. I also want to confirm that, because the last time I checked, there was a big problem with adherence to time frames in respect of your programs, the projects that ESCOM is doing for you. So I wanted to find out if was that a mistake or you exactly wanted to say. You mean what you are saying there, in accordance with agreed time frames. And lastly, Chair, because you have limited us to three, is the slide number 30, which is a technical thing again, I think. But you see, the department calls these things reductions. Their reduction is based on the indicative budget. When I take the finals of all of them, there is no reduction. When I take your 2016-17 finals, which is 7.5 billion, and you go to your 2017-18 finals, it's 8.1 billion. But now to you, it's a reduction because you are basing it on your indicative. Why do you do that? Because why not base it on the final on your finals? Why do you place it on your wish list? Because I want to think that your indicative is your wish list. But then the previous one is the exact, which is what you are given by Treasury on the previous year. Thank you, Chair. Just wanted to clarify on that one as to why this one and not that one. Thank you.
Honorable Tebe. Sorry, just to help officials. I normally do it to help you. Honorable Kahula is from the kingdom. Honorable Tebe, that follows up on him, is from the Platinum province.
And also from the royal family. Now, Chair, I want to start with a disclaimer towards the CFO. I'm not sure if I hear you correctly when you said one of the things that you do consultancy on was communication, but not limited to. If that is the case, are you unable to do communication that you are sending it out for consultants? If that's what I got from you. The second part is that we all agree that in order for us to advance our economic emancipation, it's so necessary for us. We need energy security. And part of the things that we would caution us for the better part of the things that we want to do is the completion of the Grand Inga project. You are just touching and go on it in your presentation. You are not giving us whether the process is now moving forward and what are the problems that I encountered. That is also in line, Chair, if you could remember, with our own Agenda 2063, the Africa we want. In appreciation by South Africa that in order for us to silence the gun as part of the program of the 2063 is to make sure that we also participate through that process in the development of Africa and Africa as a whole. So our Grand Inga project will also give us the leeway to assist other neighboring countries that are. The other issue that I think is quite unfortunate, and I want to agree to a larger extent with the elephant, but I think it's quite unfortunate that we have a 14% decrease on the is it national solar power program? Yeah, I think it's one of the critical programs, and it's quite unfortunate that we are having. But are we getting assurance from the department that you are going to exercise fiscal prudence as expected by the national treasurer? Because treasury is saying to you some of the warm body resources that you would need, even though you are quite explicit in your deliberation that they are quite critical for you to be able to meet your targets, set up targets. But however, the treasury is saying engage us in the process that you would want to do it. But in the meantime, are we getting assurance that physical prudence will be exercised? Chairing Kitchen, I spoke on behalf of the opposition members.
He wasn't referring to you, Honourable Van Lingen. He was referring to your father.
Maybe you were referring to Honourable Vada, which didn't.
Honourable Father, let's have you as a third hand, and we give an opportunity for a response.
Thank you, James.
He's from the big province.
You know, Chair, it's funny when you don't become a chair because you don't have quorums of your own party. I'm sorry to hear that I said I'm from East Rom.
He's from Northern Cape.
East Rom. Yes, thank you, Chair. I'd just like to know, as we know, there's been cuts and cuts and cuts, and on the Grand Inga project, because I see that is in your 5 years, where is the money going to come from, specifically on the Grand Inga? And if we say in the 5-year strategic plan we had that information session on the Grand Inga, I would like to know what will we start off in the next 5 years on the Grand Inga and how much it will be, because I think there is big financial implications on that. So, I don't want to talk about the nuclear. I think Minister Prabhu Gordhan already spoke about the nuclear energy. It's only Minister Jordan Peter said that doesn't know where much money. Then the gas from Mozambique, I would like to know, are we not going to, on page 19, on the gas to be acquired, what about the gas in Mozambique? Have you ventured into it, and how much have you set aside for venturing into gas? As I've heard, there is huge resources of gas in Mozambique that can almost keep the whole southern part of Africa going. So I'd like to know, have you ventured into that as well, and how much did you put aside for that? And supplying back to the grid,
I would like to know, we know there's a lot of these energy plants that have gone on. Will everyone be able to get onto the grid? And how much do you think you will get back on the grid? Because I see here, my eyes are not on the best, but it's saying all 86% of households that have been connected to the grid, and this obviously electricity grid. My question is, coming back from the solar energy and stuff, how much do you predict will come back from all these solar plants back into the grid to save you, if you can maybe just touch that. Okay, and I was seeing that we're talking about the drop in, on crude price, crude oil, but as you all know, oil prices are not stable. You can see that by tonight, 12 o'clock, go. You guys are all home, or you get your cars full to get home by 12, otherwise you're not going to get here because it's going to get very expensive. And from what I understand, crude oil is even going to go up more from what is expected. How will that influence you? Because if you already, because I know you subsidize already on some of the power stations through the Eskoms and so on, I would like to know how that will influence your budget, because it will have a huge influence, I suppose, on your budget, the price of crude oil that's actually going to drop but is going up.
It was four.
Chairperson, just the last one. The Pebblebed modular reactor has been cancelled, and according to the minister, 20% of our electricity will be nuclear powered by 2030. Now, the National Energy Regulator has received two nuclear installation site licenses applications now. It's almost nobody got that. For instance, to build two nuclear reactors on the east and the west coast, Statesman and Langefontein. Now, I've looked at the 200 million that you said that's going to be available immediately and so on. But if you look at this nuclear amount of money that you set aside for nuclear, I mean, it can't be even close to enough. So I want to know if these site licenses have already been okay. And I need to know it's been received. Let's say it's received on the roll, we're not going to go through the date on it. But my question is, we also know that there was deal signed, and I want to know, what is the situation on these deals? I know there's in front of the court as well, but we need to understand as well, what is the situation there, and the impact of where this money will come from. Because it is not standing in this, according to this budget that's lying in front of us, not even close than enough. So I don't know, how are we going to go into a nuclear program and looking into it if there's no money available? Thank you.
I've allowed you more questions because of the size of the problems that you're having.
Well, that's
can I just ask that I be allowed to add one thing on the grid connections that the Honourable Father raised? There's two elements thereof. The one is on the energy producers linking to the grid, and then the other one is on the energy users being fed from the grid. If you can look at it in both ways, please, DJ, you will guide us in terms of the responses from your team, please.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, for the very elaborate clarity-seeking questions and comments on the presentation. Our colleagues from different branches will deal with some of the issues that have been raised. There are just a few that I would like to articulate from my side by virtue of the responsibility that has been assigned to me to manage. I'll start backward with your permission, Chair. The issue of a nuclear program and the budget allocation for this financial year, which is 200 million, as correctly put by Honourable Member, that the amount of money said may not be necessarily sufficient. The assignment for this financial year, if one were
to be directly meant, as the CFO has alluded to that, to deal with mainly the consulting work, the transactional advisors that need to do preparatory work for the request for proposal. At this point in time, one would say that we have not arrived at any funding model for the implementation process of the NUPA program. The exercise is meant to be concluded by the end of this month to go out for request for proposal, but also that will be determined by the technical consultations that the department has been involved with. We have already brought on board some specialists in the capacity of nuclear area as well as procurement area, and we are busy looking into different fields of transactional advisors who will be. So this money will be used for that preparatory work. We are anticipating that within 1 year or even less than a year, we'll be able to conclude the process. Where will be the test for the exercise will be on the responses that will be received by different interested parties or governments in relation to the nuclear program. And that will provide us with a better insight of how best then we can advise the cabinet and appropriately what do we think is the best funding model for the exercise. So the money that is set aside is not meant to implement nuclear program, it's meant to test the market and do all the technical work that needs to be done that goes into that exercise as per the approval of the cabinet. Thereafter, we shall go back to the cabinet and accordingly we will provide them with what we have received. The technical teams that I'm referring to would have been established, would have been looked into all the technical work that has been received, and appropriately would have applied their mind at a legal level, at a financial level, different fields would have been engaged, and appropriately would be better positioned to do that. So the money is set aside is meant to do that, not necessarily to implement any physical work. That's one area which I would like to deal with. The other area which I think I would like to touch on, Honorable Chairperson, and I would like Marco Bella to deal with the pricing strategy and how we arrive at that and how the global markets are influencing our pricing strategy. Marco Bella will deal with that. The other issue is the solar water program, where how the department is going to make sure that because of the challenges we have had before we put physical prudence on the matter. We have tightened up our processes. We have reviewed our existing procurement regime to make sure that this project is done appropriately, and we have received a clear direction and guidance from the cabinet in terms of how to make sure that this program is implemented with different relevant interested parties, also departments of government. We are paying a very special attention into the entire process. I can assure the committee that the exercise of ensuring that we have the right, relevant, and technically competent bidders in place, and that process has been concluded, and the implementation of the program with clear timelines will begin with effect from this financial year. We've concluded the exercise, so the implementation protocols are in place. Relevant departments and interested parties who are going to play a role have been informed about the process, and the role that they'll be playing has been communicated. So the physical prudence that the reference is being made to by the department on this special project is going to be adhered to. It is our view that if we do that exercise correctly and technically competent enough from our side, that will attract the required resources to grow the program to actually achieve its desired objectives. So I can safely say that Honorable Chairperson, in my capacity as the accounting officer, this is one program that I'll make sure that is managed properly and implemented accordingly within the parameters of our procurement regime, and make sure that delivery on the ground is dealt with thoroughly, taking cognizance of the challenges that we have had in the past. The Grand Inga project, Chair, it's a presentation on its own. I'm not sure how often you actually have these meetings, but I think it will be proper because of its strategic nature and the importance of it and the role that South Africa is going to be playing together with our neighboring countries on this particular project, that you allow us a full presentation just on Inga project. Give you the project management plan that we have, the role of South Africa, the current institutional arrangement that is already in place, the involvement that we have been with our neighboring countries, in particular the agency that has since been established and its role in terms of the treaty that we entered into on this project, that you allow us sufficient time otherwise to respond piecemeal on this project might not be beneficial to the members. I will strongly request that to allow us an item where we talk about nothing else but the INGA project and how we intend to implement it and what has been done to date, where are we going, and what are the benefits that will be accorded to our neighboring countries as well as our country, because the country has committed itself through a treaty to do certain things in the project. That will be my humble request if you so allow me, Chair.
I see lots of agreement from the members. We'll facilitate that through our secretary with your office.
Thank you, Chair. I have quietly delegated certain aspects of your questions to some of my colleagues to respond to. I will hand over first to the CFO and then followed by other colleagues to respond to some of the specific questions that have been raised by the Honourable Members. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I'll attempt to answer the first one. In terms of why we say indicative and why we say final, if we look at the 2017-18 financial year, at this point in time, Treasury says I'll get 8.3. But come next year, after their budget guidelines have been received and they've gone through the entire budget process again, they change it again. And they say, now, I'm not going to give you 8.3. At this point, they say it was indicative of 8.3, but they want to give me 8.1. So in the 8.1 for next year, when I go back for negotiation, I give them my wish list, which you don't see, but it's part of the process in the background. They will further negotiate this 8.1. It might even come down to 7.8, 7.9, given the priorities of government at that point in time. So the indicative is just a guideline for now. This is what they say my final will be, but come next year, they're going to say this now becomes your indicative, I'll give you another figure that becomes the final. It's a process that's run by Trish. I hope I was clear.
No.
Is it clear?
Yes.
Okay.
you can answer this now. Are you okay?
Thanks, Chair. But what I was asking, I do get that response, but what I was saying is, why not base it on the final for the previous year, which then doesn't reflect as a reduction? That was my question.
Slide two, where I showed the finals. These are the final figures, and when I work them out, these are only based on every year's final that I got. Am I okay? Okay. The second question, Chair, was communications. Yes, they do. In the communications department, we use consultants, as I've stated, for very specific reasons, when there are specialized skills required or specialized machinery. And I'll just give one example. Example, advertisements, radio adverts, printing of bulk booklets, and some of those that have to be outsourced. Those are the items that I was referring to. And when it came to the 14% decrease, it was one of the three projects that was decreased. Solar water was one of them, but it's also INEP in the municipalities and ESCOM, which is equally important for the department in terms of their targets. But it was owing to the decreased revenue estimates that was that the country experienced. And because of that constrained budget, many projects had to take a reduction in the budget. And the last question, does the department exercise financial prudence? Indeed, we do so. And we do so across as normal course of business. We do it in appointment of staff. We look at the impact in the for the department, the cost of it. If we can re-look at ourselves, realign ourselves internally, so that process does happen. And with the current situation of having a reduction in our compensation of employees, it will become an even more rigorous process for us to appoint staff. We do so also in travel and accommodation. We implement the cost containment measures very strictly. And I'm stating again, consultants, we don't allow you as a matter, as course of business. It must be very specific and following due approval processes. So we do follow it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Are there questions?
Chair, honorable members. When there is an imbalance between supply or electricity supply and demand, and you can't meet the demand, then the lights go off automatically. So it's called load shedding because we don't have enough supply. Right? So it's an adverse impact, if you like. Load shifting refers to when you deliberately switch off certain load without adversely impacting the user. For an example, after about 6 o'clock in the morning, your electric geyser, after you've taken the shower, starts drawing electricity from the grid, which is undesirable because everybody wakes up around that time. So load shifting is when you deliberately switch off the geyser around 6 o'clock in the morning, but the people don't notice it because the water is already warm. So you deliberately make sure that you do not create too much demand during so-called peak periods. That is what load shifting is. It's an intervention which saves energy because energy costs different or the cost of energy at different times is different simply because it varies according to the demand with the people. So in the morning when people wake up is a typical example of a peak. In the evening when everybody gets home and cooks is another example of a peak. So that's what load shifting is. It's certainly not load shedding.
Well, it would be so kind to deal with the gas Mozambique as was raised. Can you also deal with the pricing strategy, taking cognizance of the fluctuations in the global market?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good afternoon, honorable members. Thank you, DG. Just to have started with Mozambique. Currently, we are importing quite a lot of gas from Mozambique, and that gas basically is used to produce chemicals in the country through Sasol. And in fact, in December of last year, 2015, a 3 billion rand investment was made by Sasol as well as a subsidiary of SEF, which is called IGAS, to expand the pipeline that brings gas from Mozambique. So at the end of this project, the 3 billion rand expansion project, we will be importing 12% more gas from Mozambique. So that's the increase. And this is just one of the phases that are planned for importing gas from Mozambique. Perhaps the gas also that is spoken about, the vast reserves that have been found in Mozambique. We are waiting for the people that have been awarded those blocks to make final investment decisions. And once they have made them, then we are in a better position to can then tap into that gas. If I just then move on to the issue of the very sensitive issue of the fuel prices, just to first say that when we look at perhaps to start, we have an import parity pricing system which takes into account the international product prices as well as then impacted by the exchange rate. So if one goes back to 2012, the exchange rate was 8 rands to the dollar. We're now sitting at somewhere around 14. And, So that then has an impact on the final price that we pay at the pump. But also just to say that this latest increase that is going to be implemented tomorrow at midnight tonight basically still takes us to where we were in October last year. So the peak, we peaked only in 2012. That's when the 2014, sorry. That's when the prices of fuel peaked in South Africa. We've never reached, even with the drop in exchange rate, we still have not reached the pump prices that we were paying in 2014 April. We are still two rands below what we were paying then. And I think that gets lost when we all see the price going up and down. But actually there is still a benefit to both the farming community by way of diesel, but also to ourselves as motorists, and included in the prices of paraffin that we pay. But what is the plan going forward? I think most importantly, it is to strengthen our relations with the countries from where we import crude oil, so that we can get preferential prices. So that is one of the strategies that we're pursuing, and in fact, that is already ongoing. But secondly, then, is to ensure that we start drilling for oil and gas on our shores. I think that in the long run is something that has got to happen. But I think, you know, it is going to be quite important in the short term that we strengthen those relations with the countries.
Thank you very much. I had a very good time with the first DG of Health. I think you remember him, where he says that he doesn't direct generally. He is a general that directs. So please direct general.
I
noticed that there was the question about the adherence to time frames, and then the one about the grid connections. Those are the two I have left.
Dr. Barnett will deal with the grid connections, Chair. With regards to time frames, we have had quite a number of engagements with ESCOM as our implementing agent on the issue of time frames, and we have agreed on specific time frames. We would like to stress the importance of adhering to time frames that we have set for ourselves, because the biggest problem of our challenges in the specific area of electrification program and maintenance in particular is when the direction of the implementation on those time frames. Where there are deviations, we'd like to be provided with strict explanations why that should happen. But our starting premise is the responsibility of our department is to make sure that the agreed time frames are adhered to and are not tempered with. Of course, we're going to put a very strict monitoring mechanism, because the biggest challenge we've had was when there's a deviation, especially on the maintenance side for the time frames. So we'll be very strict with that, but surely, Chair, we can assure the honorable members that where there'll be a deviation, there must be sound scientific explanation that must be provided for that to happen. I will then hand over to Dr. Barnett to deal with the grid connection issue, the 86%, which is your area. Over to you, Doc, for your chair.
Chair members, DG, thank you very much. Good afternoon also from my side. In terms of the grid connectivity, I think there are just two aspects. Irrespective that these new generators is coming online, the solar parks and the wind parks, that is supplying to the grid, but on the excess side is something else. Now, on the supply side, It doesn't matter where it comes from. You consume it on the other side when it comes out, if it's green or brown or black, generated electricity, it doesn't matter. On the 86% access, there are currently a national program, the INET program that's running, and this program is not only grid the connectivity, but also off-grid, where we also use solar panels to assist. But it's also other technologies currently, like fuel cells, that is coming into play, and that is all to assist to increase the 86% under the INET program. Yes, there was a slight cutback, but we're also busy looking at processes how to increase additional funding to keep on getting access to the grid up to optimal to reach a target as we see it in the end. Thank you.
Let's see if there's another round. Honorable Tihale, it's in Popo, right? I'll come back to you, Honorable.
Also includes our rural areas and how do they monitor that in the rural areas. I was just worried when they were talking about the building program. And the other thing, I'm happy that we will have a full presentation on the INGA project.
Thank you very much. Honorable Dihale, I just wanted to know on the rural areas, can you give us some things that we can take home? We'll allow the round to finish and then give you a chance. Honorable Tere?
Okay, just a quick one. DG, if you go to Northern Cape today, you would see that there's a boom of green energy sector production, your solar energy production. However, draw us an indication of what is the relationship of the IPPs versus this boom that we see in Northern Cape, and how has it impacted into the transformational agenda of your department? Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Then allow me to get my three questions in. The first one is on the solar water geysers, that at one time there were serious difficulties with the parts in the solar water geysers. And many communities that we engage with are saying that, what are we going to do if these geysers start giving us trouble? Would we have sufficient skills to do the repairs speedily? And also, for us who also worked in DTI, with DTI, we're saying that, is there going to be localization and beneficiation? That's the first question. The second question is on biofuels. With the drought that we're presently suffering, we have to make strategic choices. Do we use the biomaterial that we have to produce energy, or do we use it to produce food, particularly when we look at grain and biofuels? We've heard lots of civil society organizations working on economic justice expressing concern that we're going to now divert the interest or the priority of food security into providing energy security for people. Can you speak to us on what your plans are? The final one that I want to bring is not a good one, but let me bring it. Nexa has performed terribly, this chatty, in terms of their audit for 2015, well, you know which year. And now we are looking at investing lots of money on nuclear. Can you give us, as a select committee, any guarantees that we are not going to have that same nonsense that we have experienced with the last audit. And I'm putting it nonsense, particularly because it is nonsense. And we won't go into detail on what we understand about what's happening with the entities that's reporting to NEXA, but we can use that at some other time. When we talk about INGA, we can talk about that again. But just for us, when we look at the budget, we see one entity reporting to the Department of Energy that has serious problems with their financials. And we want to be convinced that we can support this, knowing that there are corrective measures being taken to address the accounting of the entities. Let me see if there's any other member who have a question. None. Honorable Dikane?
I just want to check what it is that is inflicting on the decrease and the increase of the, when they were dealing with the budget, somewhere they were talking about the decrease, then somewhere they increased. I just want to check what inflicts that.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, once again for the second round on very important issues that you have raised. I'll request the Chairperson that CFO, if you may deal with the impacts, because we have done an analysis about the impact when the fiscals were under pressure and different departments were then expected to take a cut on some projects, and there has been direct impact on our plans. In fact, we'll be reviewing some of our budget moving forward to deal with the impact. So, but I will request that the CFO be more specific with specific areas, particularly with regard to INEP programs that have been affected by the reduction on our budget. Biofuels, OMP will deal with that. The manner in which we have structured our solar water heaters program to deal with the issues that Chair you've raised in terms of skills, repair, and so forth, I'll ask the CEO so that he also earn his salary today to deal with that part, because we have structured the implementation protocol of this project differently to deal specifically with the challenges of the past. So there are some lessons that have been learned, and there are measures that moving forward we have put in place in dealing with the implementation of this project, and the CEO, Mr. Shange, will deal with that. The next issue, Chair, it was quite a worry. I must assure the Chairperson and the members that we have had engagement. In fact, this was my first assignment upon arrival to this department to deal with this, because issues of governance, they do relate directly to the accounting officer, and because we are responsible as well for governance issues with our entities that are responsible. So we do follow our investment on behalf of the state. Some restructuring arrangements have been put in place. As a matter of fact, a new board of NEXA has been established and the cabinet has approved this part of governance responsibility to make sure, because at the end of the day, some of these challenges, they emerge as a result of a lack of leadership in ensuring that there's proper governance. I can assure the members that the situation we have dealt with it. We have had meetings with the office of the AG. We have agreed on what measures needs to be put place and be implemented, and we are busy with that exercise. But over and above that, we have encouraged our Honorable Minister to put stability at leadership level, and that has been done. There's a new board of NEXA with very technically competent leadership to deal with some of the challenges that were there, that have been experienced. I am quite hopeful, Chair, in my capacity as the accounting officer, that the challenges we have had may not repeat themselves, but we'll be putting a closer monitoring mechanism to make sure that we don't go through what we have gone through after our engagement with Treasury, with the Office of the AG, and the measures that have been put in place to deal with the situation in that particular area. It's a very tricky question that Honorable Tebe has asked. I think we all understand how IPP works and in terms of engagement on the ground. I would assume, and at times it's very dangerous to make a response based on the assumption. I think we have adopted an approach that would like to engage the IPP as an institution on how to deal with projects of implementation on the ground with regard to transformation. the assumption I'm making from the question chair, which might be a bit tricky, is that there is an assumption that the manner in which some of the programs are implemented do not adhere to the transformational arrangement that under normal circumstances projects of this nature by the state will take cognizance of. And we are busy interrogating some of those projects, in particular in areas such as Northern Cape, where there's been massive investment on such work on an environment that has been created and made conducive by the state for work to be done, which then calls for compliance to transformational agenda. It will be very dangerous for one to make a conclusive remark on that, but we are busy tightening our contractual arrangement with the IPP office in ensuring that adherence to transformational agenda is not lost in the process of implementation. Some of the issues that the honourable member is raising have been raised directly with our department to look into, and we are busy with that. And I can assure you that as we move along, there are some lessons we have learned. Investment has come, but I can say in hindsight we have also undertaken to check if transformation has been taken cognizance of in those projects, and we shall make sure that we tighten our contract along those lines, because that's where it matters most. And the minister, as a matter of fact, has also given me the directive to make sure that I check the transformation aspect of how different projects on renewable energy by IPP subscribe to the transformation agenda of our country. So moving forward, that matter is receiving our urgent attention. On biofuels, I'll hand over to Ombi to just provide a perspective on that matter, and then the CEO will give us a perspective on the issues you have raised on the solar water. It has program implementation protocols. Ombi.
Thanks, DG. Honorable Chair, members, the question in relation to biofuels is, I suppose, the relationship between the perception of a conflict in relation to biofuels being used for the biofuels program being used for energy rather than for food in the context of the current drought. Just very briefly, some highlights. The biofuels program works in a very subsidized manner, in particular when the price of the liquid fuels end product is very low. So in other words, the more the Brent price of crude is high, the lesser the amount of subsidy the state has to put into the program, and vice versa. In other words, at the current low price of Brent, the state has to put a lot more subsidies to make the biofuels program to work. Now, under the circumstances, the state does not have as much money to direct into energy as opposed to perhaps diverting that money into food. So the Minister of Energy made a conscious decision around the inception of the biofuels program, so much as it has been, shall we say, vetted down. So there's been agreement across most of the relevant stakeholders, and the program could have been launched, but it has been put on ice, so to speak. So we're not moving as fast, mainly because of this question that Honorable Chair is asking, which is a question around the ensuing drought and what it means. Basically what it means is that the state will have to put even more meager resources into the subsidies, and yet we have other more pressing problems. So that's the good distinction.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, members. Thank you, Director General. The question that I'm, my name, the Director General is requesting that I introduce myself. My name is Muzi Shange. I'm the chief. Muzi Shange. I'm question that I am asked to respond to relates to the maintenance or relates to the solar water geysers. The way we have structured our solar water program is such that we have broken it into parts. There is the one part that deals with the social aspect, and we have the part that deals with the load reduction. The load reduction aspect is the one that speaks to reducing the demand on public buildings, and that's the one that also will make penetration into the middle income groups. As you will know, that's where the biggest demand is. On the social program, we are quite advanced now in terms of the process of procurement. We have just recently completed the procurement process on the appointment of various suppliers who will be supplying us, or manufacturers, original equipment manufacturers that will be manufacturing the actual units. But over and above that, we have the feasibility aspect of the program, where companies will go out and do the actual feasibility of the solar water heater program. That's where they will then test the water quality. They will check the structure, if it can hold the unit and all those sort of things. You also have, as I said earlier, the load reduction aspect, where we are looking to target government buildings. And specifically, we have been recently requested by government departments like the correctional services, for example. We have quite a high demand on their electricity side, where now we are saying, how do we then reduce demand using various energy efficiency interventions? Insofar as the maintenance part, as I mentioned, the these are original equipment manufacturers. It's part of our requirement for localization. So the parts, Chairperson, that you were referring to, or the various components in the case where it breaks, it shouldn't therefore be an issue, as the various components are manufactured and assembled locally. I think I've covered that part. The other part probably that I might have to respond to relates to the challenges on Nexa. And we take it, Chair, that the strong terms that you're putting forward to say it's unacceptable what has been happening. And in response to that, the department obviously has looked into various governance challenges that have been part of the bigger problem. And recently, you will know, Chair, that Cabinet approved the new board of Nexa, led by Dr. Kem. So we're quite confident, looking at the caliber of appointments that we have there, that we'll be able to begin to address specific issues relating to that entity, and in a way it's able to then take its rightful position in the bigger scheme of things, and so far as the nuclear program is concerned. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members.
Okay,
the one question on the rural communities.
Thanks, members. I can just mention that the allocation for this year that's been made for the electrification program is 75% of all allocations is earmarked for rural areas in the country. So the majority, three quarters are going to rural areas. So that is the allocation as it is now.
Thank you very much. Did I cover everybody?
Yes, Chair, even those who are.
I just want to make one comment. It's about the Belindaba plant of Nexa that I had the privilege of visiting and was impressed when I got there and I showed the big DTI sponsored site there. I then went to the training center. Two things that struck me, I visited many other training centers, like Petro SA. Excellent training that they are providing. At Nexa, exactly the same thing. Excellent training that they're providing to people in the water reticulation systems, in laying electricity. They have houses that are standing there on the plant, you know, not wooden houses that they've built. And they do the electrification right from the putting the plug into the wall, putting in the geyser wires and everything. Beautiful work that they're doing. The difference between them and Petro SA is that they have a hostel there, so they can accommodate people. The other difference between them and the Petro SA is also that when I spoke to the manager in charge of this training, he said to me that many of the mayors will call him and say, can we send 20 students to be trained by you? And they do this training. I mean, I was in awe. I've never been exposed to all these technical things, but it was excellent work that they were doing there, apart from the nuclear element of it, which was the training of people. But when I looked at the condition of the plant, then I was saying that we're going to have a lot of work to do by repairing the infrastructure, particularly when you look at those big units outside and the railway lines and everything that's there. But the point that I'm trying to make is to say that we note with appreciation that the Department of Energy have these entities that are doing good work, and we just want to encourage you and plead with you not to lose them, because in the other department that we deal with, which is trade and industry, we are conscious of the fact that one of the difficulties that we're having is without skill space in the country. And if the Department of Energy can contribute towards building the skill space, we will send the Minister of Science and Technology to come and thank you for the wonderful work that you're doing there. But we just wanted to acknowledge that as we close the meeting. Can we again say thank you very much, Honorable Kahula, Honorable Mteta, that you came to help us so that we are representative of our members in the NCOP when we receive this DG. To you and your team, DGGs, we wish you well in the work that you're doing. We're serious when we make the remark about the human